Hello, and welcome to SearchContentManagement.com. I'm Lauren Horwitz, Executive Editor in the Business Applications and Architecture Group, and this past week I attended IoT World in San Francisco, which featured some real-world use cases of the Internet of Things and Internet of Things connected devices in various industries, from retail and energy to healthcare and the public sector. And for those listeners who are still getting up to speed on the technology, IoT connected devices enable organizations to gather and analyze data about their products and their users. So for example, an IoT connected oil drum or car can indicate that it's time for service. A smartwatch can gather health metrics for an athlete, such as heart rate, steps walked during the day, and so on. But despite this promise, IoT is still an immature technology, and practitioners have several items on their wish lists as the technology evolves. And today I have the great pleasure to talk about some of these issues with Jonathan Reichenthal, the CIO for the City of Palo Alto, and a speaker at IoT World. So Jonathan, welcome. It's terrific to have you with us.
Hi there, Lauren.
Hi. So we got a little bit of a chance to talk after your panel, but I have several questions for you that I'm hoping we can share with listeners as well. So my first question to you is, how do you think cities' problems can be addressed, at least in part, by the Internet of Things?
Well, I'm glad in your introduction you talked about the fact that the Internet of Things technologies are in an immature phase. Or another way to say it, I guess, it's early days.
Yeah.
And a lot of what we're seeing across different domains is experimentation. It's new companies trying new things. A few things are working well. You know, everybody talks about the Nest, you know, thermostat in people's homes as a great success story. But we still can't list tens of things or hundreds of items that represent all the ways in which devices might be connected in the future. I think, though, there is something very interesting about this topic as it relates to its application in a city context. You know, you just have to think about what a city is. It's a whole lot of objects that, you know, when brought together, create a massive machine that creates a place where millions of people live. And I often comment that it's amazing that it all works today. Sometimes parts of it don't. Let's agree to that. But whether it's the traffic system, you know, the traffic signal system, public safety components, you know, sending ambulances out when people have emergencies. You know, we've got this very complicated system. And for all its complexity and for all that goes right, it's very basic. You know, the different infrastructure items, the different vehicles, today don't really talk to each other. They're not sending information that might be useful between each other. So think about something a little bit fun here. You know, if you were driving at night and the roads are empty and the traffic signals are fairly basic, you know, they're changing at a regular interval, but the traffic lights are smart enough to talk to each other, talk to cameras and identify that. You know, maybe there's no traffic coming across the intersection. So, but it knows you're driving towards the traffic signal, which is red. Why doesn't the traffic signal then just turn green and allow you to pass through because there's no other traffic? And to make that happen, you're going to have traffic signals talking to cameras or different types of sensors, and then the traffic signals talking to your car. Now, it sounds a little sort of fantastical, but this is stuff that's in prototype stage. There's a couple of communities that are beginning to explore it. Even Palo Alto is starting to look at this. So we think, you know, on the broad level, once the different infrastructure components of cities begin to talk to each other, send data between each other, and begin to have some level of intelligence, cities are going to become smarter and serve people better.
So you mentioned in your talk that there are several initiatives ongoing in Palo Alto that involve IoT. You alluded to the drought in California. Could you talk about a couple of examples of IoT-related efforts there?
Sure. And these will be characteristic of experiments, as I've mentioned. The one area that we've made some really good progress on is experimentation around the smart grid. And so we have a part of our city, a few hundred homes that have smart meters, and so we were monitoring the results of that. What information that's collected through smart meters can be useful to the city, to the energy provider, to the homeowner. How useful is real-time energy data to a variety of stakeholders? What conveniences does that incur to wirelessly be able to collect meter information from the street rather than having a meter person have to go to each meter and write down numbers? I mean, I think we would agree that just in terms of accuracy, that's better. But we shouldn't go all fall in on something until we fully understand it. So this has been an ongoing experiment. You've got to balance, the investment versus the value that you get from it. And so far, I think the jury's out. But the data is useful. I mean, we send now a lot of we send, as a matter of course, homeowner energy consumption information to a third party that we can then include on bills in an anonymous fashion and also on a website to help homeowners understand what their energy consumption is relative to their neighbors. And that could be sort of an interesting motivation for behavior. The other area that we are looking at is working with a number of innovative enterprises to put sensors into parking spaces. In many cities, this is not necessarily novel, but it's not widely adopted yet. This can help simply by making the information around whether a parking space has been used or not available to a whole lot of people that might be interested. You've got code enforcement, ensuring that people are only parking in a space for the time that they've paid for or allowed. And then you've got that other sort of real high benefit, which is somebody looking for an available space would know if it was available or not. So from a practical perspective, people really relate to that one because we all struggle with finding a parking space. One of the compelling sort of data points around why the Internet of Things in this context might be useful is in many sort of dense urban settings, particularly downtown areas, much of the traffic is 30%, up to 30% of the traffic is caused by people looking for parking space. And if you could eliminate that need so a person knows exactly where they were going, you could reduce that the volume of traffic up to 30%. I think people would agree that that's kind of a neat, not only is it less frustrating to be having to search, but it also is better for all the drivers by having less traffic. So those are two very current and I think good examples of where by thinking differently about collecting information in very common areas, we potentially can change the way we deliver the service.
So you're very nicely alluding to my next question, which I hope won't be totally redundant now, but my next question was going to be what some of the principal benefits could be of using these kinds of IoT devices for a city like Palo Alto. And you've talked a little bit about certain kinds of cost and just operational efficiencies. Mm-hmm. Are there others, or should we expand on those?
Well, I think one way maybe to answer the question is we should be thinking about how do we make cities more aware. And I think about things like you've got to have a network that is very pervasive across a city landscape such that you can plug in a whole variety of different devices, sensors in this case, edge computing, having some processing happening at the point of which the data is being collected. So the reason I say this is because when cities are thinking about broadband deployment or laying, you know, or having the availability of fiber, sometimes we have to put in place the infrastructure without actually knowing ultimately what some of the amazing solutions are going to be, because we see some of the early tease around this, and so we know more's to come. We know that when we can collect timely information, when I say we, I'm talking about a very broad range of stakeholders, we can create more optimization around any type of process. But then there's other things like we're certainly going to be interested in the quality of air. We're going to be interested in sound and noise pollution. So what you want to be able to do is to have a sufficient infrastructure, whether it's hardwired or wireless, to be able to plug in data collection devices or ways for data to be for systems to communicate between each other, so that you can anticipate potentially the amazing innovations that are going to happen. And you know, so on any given day, I'm fascinated by some of the innovation that's happening. Drought is a good one. Drought is a good motivation for action. And so you know, having smarter irrigation systems and being able to collect information about irrigation at a and to aggregate it so that you can do better analysis and have a better sense of what's happening on a citywide level. Some of it is just being remarkably more efficient relative to the manual way we've been doing it in the past, just by having, you know, devices collect information where it was done by humans in the past. And so, you know, I'm very interested, as everyone else is, to see where this is headed. But I think there's sufficient promise to suggest that we ought to be beginning to work on the getting the infrastructure in place. And we think about that a lot here, including moving forward with some master planning around what a network might look like for that.
Mm-hmm. So, again, you're laying a nice foundation for my next question. Earlier you talked about interoperability and the ability for devices to be able to communicate with one another. Other, you know, caveats concerning IoT devices have been, you know, issues of data privacy. What are the most important items on your wish list for IoT to kind of mature and develop to that next level?
I mean, we're seeing the cost of the collection devices drop, and that's a very positive. If the cost of this is all going to be too high, cities are not going to make the progress we'd like. So, you know, seeing the price point fall on the edge computing pieces of this is going to be important. You know, I think I'm going to have to think about the question more. I'm not sure I'm ready for a good, intelligent answer on it yet.
Okay. Well, that's fair. It's it's stuff we can't necessarily anticipate. Although, and you also just mentioned bandwidth. Would that, it sounds like that would be at least a portion of your wish list.
There's no doubt that, We need to be in a place in cities across America where you know, high speed internet is pervasive, whether it's through again through fiber or the emergence of fifth generation wireless or, you know, very high speed Wi-Fi. The notion that we will have areas of cities that won't have coverage or the ability to embed some level of technology to make those parts of the city more smart just seems alien to me. So I think every community is facing this. This question of how do we get there quickly, is it mostly based on the motivation of the private sector? Should it be pushed from a municipal perspective, or is there some partnership that occurs? And if you look at communities one by one across the United States today, you'll see every flavor of it. And we are in a really, I got to say, an amazing place, almost exciting to see the motivation, the spirit of competitiveness between, at least in the private sector, the want to bring broadband to communities. But you see rural areas that are not being served, that want to step up and perhaps look to states at the state level or the county level for investment to be made in bringing the network to all parts of the landscape.
So, and you brought up another theme that was certainly present during the talk, which was how to kind of enable IoT more easily through this sort of public-private partnership that might sort of facilitate things. Is that right?
I think here at the City of Palo Alto, we are champions of public-private partnerships. We think that's the way to get stuff done. We do respect, and I think there's an essential role for the open marketplace. It's been quite successful here in the U.S. In getting things done, moving innovation forward. But there are things that are hard and need the scale and the convening power of the public sector to work in harmony with the private sector to make things happen. So, I think in conclusion, we think there's a very important role for partnerships. The idea of sort of government going it alone on a whole range of things just doesn't seem practical anymore. I mean, just doesn't seem practical from an economic perspective.
Yes.
And so, Silicon Valley is the ultimate sort of example of the private sector just seeing the opportunity and stepping up and taking risk. And here in Palo Alto, we're lucky enough to be the benefactor of that. So, we're big supporters of that.
Yes. Well, Jonathan, this has been a great opportunity to give those who weren't at IoT World a bit more insight into some of the things that we discussed and talked about and just what's to come with Internet of Things. So thank you so much for joining us today.
You bet. Thank you.
And I hope we'll get a chance to talk again. And for more, you can always check out Search Content Management and searchcrm.com. And until next time, I'm Lauren Horwitz.